Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us today, and hope you are safe. We live in an unbelievable time, do we not? And here's hoping that as we talk to you today about sports, we're probably the only one right now that has much to do with sports other than talking about it, because, well, as you know, sports pretty well in every category has been put on pause for a while, and I guess that's necessary, but I also know that sports can be a great relief to us, and we hope it comes back soon. So one of the things that's been put on hold and looks like it's not going to happen at all this year is college baseball, which is too bad because college baseball is really a lot of fun. But the we have an interview with you today with one of the top college baseball coaches in the country, and his name is Rich Maloney, and he is the head coach of the Ball State Cardinals. He was at Michigan for about 10 years, from 2003 to 2012, and he led the Wolverines to four consecutive NCAA appearances. He was the Big Ten Coach of the Year, 2007, 2008, and then he parted ways with Michigan, and he came to Ball State, and he has done a great job there. We had a chance, it's been a few years ago now, about 4 or 5 years ago, to sit down with Rich, and since then, we have stayed in contact. He's a good friend. He has sent a couple of players to me that have become, well, one has become a very good friend, Sean Godfrey, who used to play for him and spent a few years playing in the minors. And then another who we're going to have on face-to-face here very soon, as soon as we can get the restrictions off of being able to travel. And that player is Alex Call, who is currently, although as we know, spring training did not happen this year, and we don't know exactly what the status of it is, but currently he is a part of the Cleveland Indians minor league roster, and hopefully he'll be with the Cleveland Indians. So Rich Maloney is our guest. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. Sit back, enjoy yourself, and for a few minutes forget about the coronavirus thing that we have going on, and enjoy listening about sports. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have Rich Maloney with us. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us, and hope you're having a good day. With us today is Rich Maloney. He's our guest. He's the head baseball coach at Ball State University. And Rich, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Glad to be with you here, Tom.
19 years as a head coach. You had two stints at Ball State. You were here from 96 to 2002, and then a time at Michigan, 2002 to 2012 with the University of Michigan, Wolverines. And then coming back here in 2013, 2014. Compare the level of competition between the Mid-American Conference and the Big Ten.
Well, in baseball, it's very similar. So the top teams that would be in the Mid-American Conference would be teams that would be challenging in the Big Ten towards the top. So the Mid-American Conference has had a great, great tradition, as has the Big Ten. And certainly a few years ago, Kent broke into Omaha. And that was the first true Northern team to do it. And then recently Indiana did it. So I think that conferences are very comparable.
Yeah, you get a lot of teams that go to the College World Series that come from the normal places of down south, the Southeast Conference, Southern California and that. But that College World Series has become really big over the years. And what does it mean to take your team to the College World Series?
Well, I think for the guys who've been able to do it, I haven't been able to do it. I got close with my 2007 Michigan team. We played Oregon State, ended up winning a national championship that year. In playing at that level in the Super Regional, and then hearing from my friends who have had the privilege of being in the College World Series, it's an amazing season that you have to put together. You have to stay healthy. You have to have a great group. They obviously have to be cohesive, pulling in the same direction. And you got to get some breaks, too.
Yeah.
You got to have some things that fall your way. But it's a spectacle now in college baseball. I mean, nationally. I mean, ESPN covers it, and we get great coverage. We get great attendance. And it's a profitable experience for players and profitable for the NCAA, and all of baseball benefits from it.
You've had success at both places, Michigan and here. You had 324 wins at Ball State, 341 wins at Michigan. Is there a specific year? You talked about that year of playing Oregon State. Is there a specific year, though, that stands out that maybe was a different year from the record, but just had a great group of ball players?
Well, I think last year's team, interestingly enough, was pretty amazing. So when we came back on the, each of the programs that I've inherited were down, and were way down. And I've had the privilege and the blessing, I guess, from the favor of God, I guess, to be able to allow us to come on into programs and rebuild them. And we've been able to build all three of them into championship programs. But last year truly was a team. We had a mixture of 10 or 11 seniors, and then we had these young kids coming in, and really what was our first recruiting class, because I didn't recruit in the first year that I got the job because it was too late in the season when I got hired. So therefore, we banked our money, and we kind of waited a year, and then we kind of hit a home run in that recruiting class. But for the seniors to accept the freshmen, and many of the freshmen playing, you know, is a delicate balance you have to strike there. And this, these guys did it as a team like no other.
We're in Indiana, of course, and cold weather sometimes. I know you had a game, at least one game, snowed out this year up in Buffalo. Do you get a lot of your players from Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, or do you recruit down south?
Yeah, it's predominantly, my philosophy has always been in my whole coaching career is to recruit majority of Midwest kids. And the character of the Midwest kid, the hardworking mentality, is always what I've made my living on. And I've taken kids who have been what we would call projection kids, kids that we see potential in but yet may not have realized it yet. And then we hope through hard work and a good attitude that we can develop them and they get better. And fortunately for us, many of them have and gone on to professional baseball and helped our team win some championships.
This year, you became the winningest all-time coach at Ball State. You got that at Northern Illinois, and it had to be a great game because your son got his first career save in that game. Tell us about that game.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that whenever you are in a place for a while and you have the privilege of having so many outstanding student athletes and you watch them grow and then you get some success with it, I mean, it's a special moment, especially when to have your son play for you. So, you know, us head coaches at the Division I level, we're gone away from home quite a bit. So you have to have a real understanding a spouse who's very supportive, because really they're raising the children at home. And then your kids, you know, they're not like, it's not like a normal schedule like the most folk. So with me being gone so much, baseball's become kind of part of our lifestyle. Just because of the demands of the job. And so my kids grew up around it. And to have your son play for you and then to be a part of the a game that allows you to be the winningest coach is really, really special.
There are a lot of coaches out there, and you have had a tremendous amount of success. What do you think your secret to success over the years has been?
Well, I think faith has been that one constant that allows you to keep a balance in your life. And I think at the end of the day, I think it's wherever I've gone, I've been able to have people around me that have been supportive in my faith, strengthened me, helped me through the good times and the bad times, because it's a tough job. I mean, you have 30 some odd kids that you're trying to, you know, build up, and then you got different situations that occur and with that many people. And then you've got to have good counsel around you. So I think having good counsel, having a strong faith, being surrounded by good people, having support of many people has been just instrumental in the success we've had.
You have sent quite a number of players onto the pros. Do you know how many players you've actually had that have signed contracts to play pro ball?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I know it's in the upper 50s or right around 60. I do know that. I need to find out the exact number, actually. And I think I've had about 10 to 12 guys who've got at least a cup of coffee in the big leagues. And I currently have one, Zach Putnam's pitching on the White Sox right now in relief, and he's doing have an outstanding season. And then Chris Getz was recently, he just recently retired after 5.5 years. But it's been a for a coach to see your player make it. And right now, Brian Bullington's in the big leagues in Japan. Brad Snyder's in the big league, another Ball State guy in the big leagues in South Korea, which is amazing to me. When I hear the guys tell of their experiences, I get a big smile on my face.
Yeah, Brad Snyder, I believe, was playing for the Texas Rangers earlier this year and just moved on to South Korea. But I know that over the years you've had a lot of guys. Have you had more guys come out of Michigan or come out of Ball State, or has it been pretty much 50-50?
I think it's 50-50. Interestingly enough, as crazy as it may sound, I've had the privilege of coaching five first-round draft picks, and all of them were at Ball State.
Oh, that's
And while I was at Michigan, I had numerous draft picks, and I've had second-round picks, but I never had a first-rounder, unfortunately. But I think I had some first-round talent guys, but just the way the draft fell.
Compare the level of play to the pro league. If the MAC were a pro league, about what level of ball would this be?
It would probably be conceivable to be a low A, like Sally League, the way I look at it, and with your top teams in the MAC. I think those kids, in matter of fact, a couple of my players have moved up rapidly this year. Just this year, I had kids start off in short A and then move to low A and then move to high A, two different players. And Sean Godfrey, who was the MVP of the Mid-American Conference this year, he's already in high A with the Atlanta Braves, all in one season, which is amazing. And Nestor Bautista is in high A with the Miami Marlins.
Well, you've certainly had a number of players, and I know one of the bywords of this program is believe. What does that mean in this program?
Yeah, well, I think you got to, our motto's always been you got to believe, and what that means is believing in each other, believing in your coaching staff, having buy-in, caring about one another. For me personally, belief means, you know, I have a strong faith, and so my faith and personal relationship with Jesus Christ is instrumental to everything that I do. And so for me, you know, my faith is my rock. The one thing I learned in after getting fired at Michigan, which was something that I never expected to have happen, and you know, but it happened. And what I learned, the one constant is Jesus himself. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for me, that's the glue that holds everything together.
Rich Maloney is our guest. He's the head baseball coach at Ball State University and has spent a number of years, 10 years, at Michigan. And we'll take a break and be back. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Rich Maloney. He's the head baseball coach at Ball State University. We've talked about the fact that you're a coach of great faith. Tell me about your life growing up. Were you a Christian from the smallest time that you can remember? And what was life like?
Well, I always knew of God, but I didn't know God personally. So my parents raised me in the Catholic faith and went through confirmation and did the various things that the Catholic faith offers you. And then when I went to college, I still was yearning for more. My grandfather started to really seek the scriptures in his 60s. Ooh. And he started to share with me as I would come back from college. And he'd say, son, he goes, I was the oldest of 19 grandchildren. So ooh, we had a special bond, my grandpa and I.
Yeah.
And so when I'd come back home, he would say, son, he goes, whenever you find yourself in a difficult place, seek the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And as I was going through college and started doing some of the things that some of the other college kids were doing, and I started to feel empty inside. I knew there had to be something more out there. And then I had a sweet mate who, Kevin McNeese was his name, who really was, he would pray before his meals, and he was just separating himself from everybody else in a sense. He had something special. And as Kevin started to share with me, really by example, but then he started to share his faith with me, I became real excited about that. So through the process of my grandfather, Kevin's influence, and before you knew it, God was really pricking at my heart. And then I became a Christian in February 17th of 1985.
Yeah, that's good. You can remember the exact time. And you were at Western Michigan University, right?
Yeah.
And so you know a lot about MAC baseball and had a chance. What, as you come along with these young players and you understand where they're at, What do you share with them about their lives that that goes along with your philosophy of life?
Well, I think what's important is surrounding yourself with good people, always trying to breathe good things into yourself. So, like, for me, as a mentor, I always say that, you know, read good books, you know, that are inspiring. Listen to people who've been successful and are doing things the right way, of great character. So a lot of times, like I learned early in my career because of my mentors, it would be easy to listen to talk radio and spend your time doing that or listening to music, and nothing's matter with either or. But the reality is I would try to fill myself up with stuff motivational that was uplifting. And so I've always found myself in my role as trying to be an encourager. I think a coach has to wear a lot of different hats. Sometimes you got to be a real hard disciplinarian. Sometimes you got to high five a guy. Sometimes you got to put your arm around a guy. Sometimes you got to be a psychologist. You're trying to wear all these different hats, and none of us wear them perfectly, but we try our best. But with that being said, at the end of the day, I think the biggest thing I can do is encourage somebody to aspire to do something special.
You know that there are setbacks, even when you're having tremendous success. You were, I think, Big Ten Coach of the Year and MAC of the Year both. Mm-hmm. And just a few years later, you were let go at Michigan. How did you deal with that personally?
Well, the only way, see, I don't know how you could deal with stuff like that in our lives if we didn't have faith. I honestly don't know. I've talked to that to many people over. So that's when it was a really difficult time for me and my family, and humbling time. You feel like when you have something like that, you feel like you failed, and you have all these different emotions that come about. But the beautiful thing is, is that the Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. So you just have to hold on to that. You hold on to those. When you see God work in your life, you revert back to all those different experiences that He brought you through. And then you got to stay the course. And then look what He did. He took a situation that wasn't good in the last 2 years at Michigan. We had never had a losing season in my whole entire coaching career. So we've been more than blessed. And all of a sudden, everything came at us and all different ways, injuries, this, that, everything else. And before you know it, we're out of a job. And in a place where we grew up in Michigan, we dreamed of being at Michigan. So we actually, in a lot of ways, I received a blessing in the sense of I got to coach where I always dreamt of coaching. How many guys get to do that?
Yeah.
And I got to have a chance to coach so many wonderful young men. And on top of that, so then I have the rough time, and then God brings us back to a place where we had great success and some great friends and a great church, and we take a program from the bottom, and in 2 years' time, we're back at the top again.
Yep.
And then we had, even this summer, we had other schools, another school in the Big Ten courting us.
Yeah.
And so, as fate would have it, it kind of went full circle.
Yeah, God's plan, no doubt about that. You also understand that when players leave here and you send them on to the pros, you've experienced that, too. You were signed by the Atlanta Braves, I believe, in the 13th round. You had 5 years in the minors. What do you remember about those years in the minors?
I remember a very difficult lifestyle. Very challenging. So everybody thinks of the professional baseball as, you know, like this utopia. Well, reality is it's a grind. It is a real grind. And you have to have a mental strength, a physical strength to be able to handle that grind. It's so difficult. The baseball season lasts 162 games. In the minor leagues, it's about 144. And those are long seasons. And so with that being said, I think one of the great things, that because I've experienced that, I can be of great benefit, I think, to the players who end up experiencing that, because I can kind of share with the kids who are dreaming of that, and then the players that are experiencing that when they go through a spot where they're lonely, they're tired, and I can encourage them.
I know you want to give back, too. Actually, you and I met with Score International down in the Dominican Republic a number of years ago. You're a very busy man, and you got a lot to do. What was your motivation for going down to Score down in the Dominican and doing those baseball clinics?
Well, to be with other men who have a heart for God, and to be able to share their faith, and to be able to help people who are in a third world country and who don't have the means like we have here that we take for granted to experience that. And I brought my son with me, one who's playing with me. He got to go 1 year, and what a life-changing experience that can be, because, you know, we're so used to all the amenities that we just take for granted. And when you go to a place like the Dominican, where, you know, the people just don't have the same resources that we have here in America, and but they're lovely people. And to be able to share the great game of baseball with them and then share your faith, it doesn't get much better than that.
Coach Rich Maloney is our guest, and Coach, thanks for spending time with us today. I really appreciate that. As we wrap up our interview, you've mentioned Romans 8:28, but is there is that your favorite verse, or is there another verse you want to leave with us?
I think I'd leave you with this one, Jeremiah 29:11-13, where the scripture says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to pray me, and you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." That scripture right there really, like when I went through my difficult time, the scripture gives us an opportunity to focus in and reflect on God's word. And when you do that, it helps you, it carries you through those moments that are real difficult, and you almost think like they're caving in on you, and it's almost like you're wondering what's going to happen next. But then that's where the faith kicks in. And so God strengthens our faith as we survive through those types of situations, and he's certainly done that for me and my family.
Coach, thanks again for spending time with us. Those are great verses, and good luck at Ball State. We hope you get to that College World Series in the next few years. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Tom.
All right. Rich Maloney, the head coach of the Ball State University baseball team. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Certainly pray that everything will turn out all right with everybody. And here in Indiana, we're in pretty good shape, because it's too bad when people get sick, and it's too bad when that happens. And some people, unfortunately, have lost their lives. And that is nothing to look on lightly. But here in Indiana, we have not had the problems with it as they have had in other states, and we're thankful for that. And we know, too, that a lot of this has permeated through the sports world. We know that there are a couple of players in the NBA, and I don't know of any other players right now offhand that have been affected by it, but it certainly has stopped all of sports, and so it's good just to talk about some of the sports that we have here, and it's good to talk with Rich Maloney, and good to think about baseball in the hopes that as we get into the summer, as we get into late spring, as we get into the summer, the major leagues will start up and we'll start to have some baseball. Hopefully that'll happen. My trip to spring training, which I had hoped was going to be very profitable, of course, turned out to not happen. I guess fortunately they called spring training just about 48 hours before I was supposed to get on a plane. So fortunately, God intervened there and kept me safe, and hope to stay safe. Hope you're staying safe. Well, if you enjoy this show, and we hope you do, and you want to hear about other Christian athletes, go to our website. Our website is at facetofaceradio.com, and we've got a number of athletes up there, particularly from the baseball world and from the basketball world and from a number of different sports that we have, and hope that you'll check that out. Facetofaceradio.com. That's where we're at, and that's where I hope you will check us out from time to time to see how we're doing. As we close today, I want to take you to a very short verse, which I think has a lot of meaning. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's only two words, and it just says this: pray continually. I hope we do that. I hope that's something that happens, because prayer is very, very important. And I appreciate all the churches. I know there are a lot of churches that did not have services for the past few days. And even here during the Lenten season, I know there's some churches that did not do that. But we would pray, and we would hope that
that prayer works. We know that it does, and we would pray and we would hope that people all around the world are praying, not just for the end of this virus, but praying for those who are sick. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that's the verse for today. Pray continually. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Russ. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana, 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.